WRAL News on Fox 50. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news now at 8. We've learned in the past hour and a half that a 15-year-old was shot and killed in Spring Lake. You're looking live at the scene right now. WRAL breaking news tracker Brett Neese will take us there live with the new information he's getting from officers in just minutes. We want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm Micaiah Thurman in for Jeff Hocus.
And I'm Renee Chu. We are also tracking two big developments in the fight against COVID-19 today. Our team is following the change in vaccine supply at clinics across Wake County. Plus, thousands of students across our area are heading back to class full time today. You're looking live at one school in Cumberland County where kids are being welcomed with a celebration. You're in the right place for all these major stories. Plus, a beautiful day is ahead. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at all the sunshine out there.
Oh, so pretty out there right now. Take a look at downtown Raleigh. The one thing that you'll notice as we're looking down Fayetteville Street, the trees are moving around just a little bit. It is going to be a breezy day. We're looking from the Jimmy V camera all the way down to our Memorial Auditorium. And way back there, you can see the trees really shaking a bit. So we do have high fire danger in our southwestern counties because of the wind that we'll see today and the lower humidity. And really, you know, we would encourage no one to do much burning outside today because of those winds. Our winds will be gusting up to 25 miles per hour and will be the strongest between, say, mid-morning and about the time of the evening commute. Not anything that's really dangerous, going to cause any damage, but still, you want to put off things like outdoor burning today. Temperatures will warm up to around 70 by lunchtime, and our high will be in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Lots and lots of sunshine today, and you'll notice the drop in our humidity. Coming up, we're going to take a look at when we'll see our next best chance of rain on Wednesday, and we'll walk through that hour by hour on Futurecast. Peta?
We're seeing a little bit of congestion this morning in the westbound lanes on 40. Notice from NC 42 to 440, that's running around a 14-minute drive. But smooth going on 440 to Wade Avenue, 12 minutes, 6 minutes if you're traveling from Wade Avenue to 540 this morning. We are looking live right now at 40 and 540 in the RTP area. Traffic going along smoothly in both directions. Our major routes are just fine, but we do have closures going on and starting today in downtown Raleigh, Goldsboro, and Fayetteville. Coming up, I'm going to show you those closures and ways to get around them.
Peta, thank you. Let's get back to that breaking news. About 90 minutes ago, we learned a 15-year-old died after a shooting in Spring Lake, and it happened just before 3 a.m. at a home. That's where we find WRAL's Brett Neese and the WRAL breaking news tracker. Brett.
These are behind me. You see the crime scene tape that's up. It's the second mobile home on this block where the sheriff tells me that this 15-year-old and two other juveniles were inside when a shot was fired. It struck and killed that 15-year-old. Take a look at video from the WRAL breaking news tracker. The sheriff tells me that they did search much of this neighborhood with K-9 units, but that search was unsuccessful as they're looking for a suspect. They have not told us any suspect description at this point. They are interviewing those two other juveniles that were inside the home, as well as some neighbors. A neighbor was the one who called 911, and that's when deputies showed up, and this story started to unfold. But we're going to stay on top of this and stay out here. We're going to work to find out who this 15-year-old is and who lives at this mobile home, and we'll bring you any updates as they become available. Live in Harnett County, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
Thousands of students across our area are headed back to class full time today. You can see where this is happening highlighted in blue on this map. In Chatham County, pre-K through fifth grade students are returning to full time in-person learning. Person, Nash, and Lee counties are bringing back all middle and high school students. However, Lee County schools will operate on a 4-day-a-week schedule. Johnson County and Cumberland County schools are also taking that same approach of having one day of remote learning. Johnson County is bringing back students in grades 6 through 12. In Cumberland County, grades pre-K through 12 are back in class, and the school system is treating it like a celebration. WRAL's Nye Harden is live in Fayetteville to explain the steps that school officials will be taking to keep students safe, and they were welcoming the students this morning. It's a party out there.
Yeah, I wish I was welcome to school like this. Take a look here. You can see they just cut the ribbon. They had students walking in. They're getting pictures. I mean, I hope these kids feel like celebrities, as they should. For them, this is just a big time because it's been more than a year since they've been in the building here at Reed Ross Classical School on Ramsey Street. So not only is it going to be a celebration, obviously, for students returning, but also because of the fact that they'll be full time. Starting today, students in all grades will return for 4 days of in-person classes each week. And then Wednesday, they'll still have that remote day so schools can be clean. Now, until now, students were doing a mix of in-person and remote learning. And while it's no longer required, schools in Cumberland County are still doing the symptom screening checks before students enter the building. So this is just the beginning here. They're going to allow us to get inside, see what they're doing on the inside to keep students safe. We're going to have that for you throughout the morning. So keep watching and keep jamming with us. Nia Harden, WRAL News, Fayetteville.
Kids are somewhere blushing right now, like, Mom, stop dancing. Nia, thank you. Well, today, the White House COVID-19 response team is going to give us an update on the vaccine distribution plan. You'll see that streaming live on WOREL.com starting at 11 a.m. There's a new record for daily vaccinations, and that was set over the weekend while several states are dealing with a rising number of cases.
You'll likely see fewer doses of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine available this week. The CDC says the company will send out 86% fewer doses than usual, from nearly 5 million doses to just 700,000. The slowdown comes days after federal officials learned a Baltimore manufacturer making the shot mixed up ingredients, ruining up to 15 million doses. J&J has not said how directly this mix-up is related to the shortage of availability.
Wayne County could resume giving out the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today. The county temporarily stopped using the shot after some people had some adverse reactions last week. And WRAL's Michelle McConaughey joins us live from PNC Arena, where it happened.
Yeah, the county has reviewed their procedures, and they may make some changes going forward. The CDC looked into last week's reports of those reactions and concluded that the shot is safe to take. In the next half hour, we'll tell you the status of Wake County's how many shots that they have their supply for this week. In Raleigh, Michelle McConaughey, WRAL News.
We've made it easy for you to find your shot by doing the hard part for you. Click on the Find a Vaccine banner on WOREL.com and the WOREL News app to find the nearest available vaccine.
This morning, the prosecution could rest its case against Derek Chauvin. The state has argued over 2 weeks that the former officer killed George Floyd by kneeling on his neck for 9 minutes during his arrest last May. Chauvin has pleaded not guilty to murder in Floyd's death. His attorneys argue Floyd died because of drug use and underlying health conditions. They're expected to call their own medical experts after the prosecution wraps its case.
And Renee, just 10 miles away from where Chauvin's trial is taking place, the National Guard is now helping handling the aftermath of a deadly police confrontation. At 4 a.m., the mayor of Brooklyn Center urged calm.
We will continue to support the peaceful gathering of members of our community who are gathering to hold space amid our calls for transparency and accountability.
Nearly 200 people gathered around the police department overnight. Officers eventually fired tear gas into the crowd. Police say 20 businesses are looted. No one was hurt. Schools and public transportation are closed this morning in response. Well, protesters say they're demanding answers over the death of 20-year-old Dante Wright, who was biracial. An officer who shot Wright while trying to arrest him during a traffic stop yesterday afternoon hasn't been identified. Police say he had outstanding warrants and was shot as he tried to get back into his car when officers arrested him. Wright then drove several blocks before crashing. He died at the scene. Wright's mother says her son called her right before this arrest.
He was only 20 years old and he didn't deserve to be shot and killed like this.
The governor of Minnesota tweeted at 11 p.m. saying he's monitoring the situation and praying for Wright's family.
If you're struggling to pay for the funeral of a loved one who died from COVID-19, today you can sign up for help from the federal government. FEMA is offering to reimburse families up to $9,000 for the funeral of a virus victim. Families who lost more than one member are eligible for up to $35,000. Applications open today through a dedicated call center. Keep in mind, FEMA will not contact you first. If you receive an unsolicited call, it's probably a scam. A massive eruption could be just the beginning. Coming up, the new warning this morning for those living near a volcano on the popular tourist island of St. Vincent. Plus, the message from a 7-year-old victim of gun violence.
Kids are gonna get hurt somehow. They need to stop doing this.
Just ahead, how this girl from Charlotte is fighting for change after a close call with friends.
And our 7-day forecast looks pleasantly cool. Today and tomorrow in the mid-70s will be the warmest days of the week. We have a front that comes through on Wednesday. It's going to bring us some showers and thunderstorms with cooler air behind it. I'll show you when to expect those showers and storms on Futurecast coming up.
Time now, 8:13, getting a live look at sunny Pinehurst. I tell you, you couldn't think of a more picturesque day. And as we look at this one beauty shot here, Elizabeth has another one in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Look at that, and that's real close to home, Elizabeth.
Oh, no, and I'm not trying to one-up you, but I mean, look at this. I tell you what, we started pulling up this camera last week, and like a week ago, there were maybe, you know, like one or two azaleas that were blooming, and now it looks like the entire gardens are exploding. And this is really, you know, about the time we think of mid-April as being the peak. Now, there are lots of different varieties of azaleas in the gardens behind us, and they all bloom at a slightly different time. So it means that you have a lot of time to come and enjoy them. But I always recommend you do it before the end of April. I mean, this week just couldn't be nicer. Minus Wednesday afternoon, it is going to be so, so pretty. Today's going to be a little bit breezy. So if you're really sensitive to pollen, you might want to wait, because if you're out in the gardens today, it's all going to get kicked up. I also recommend that you don't do any outdoor burning this afternoon. We do have high fire danger, especially in our southwestern counties where it may be a little bit breezier and a little less humid. So take a look at our winds. We're going to be gusting to 25 miles per hour, especially through the middle of the day, but it really continues on through the evening. And then after that, it begins to taper off. Let's talk about our temperatures. It's going to be in the mid 70s for today, so feeling very nice. The orange color contours here are where the temperatures are above normal, and the blue is where temperatures are below normal. So there's some chilly air back to our north and west. Once our cold front comes through late on Wednesday, early Thursday, it's going to open the door to some cool air. It's 4 o'clock on Friday. That sounds really chilly, right? Yeah, we're still probably talking about, you know, upper 60s to around 70. So it's still going to feel fine today and tomorrow, looking at mid to upper 70s. And then Wednesday, 71 degrees. It is going to get pretty chilly overnight. So we're talking about Thursday morning at 49, Friday morning at 45, and Saturday morning at 46. But our normal overnight low is at 47. So it's not too unusual, and we're still not close enough to freezing to be worried about the garden. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had some freezing temperatures, but now that we're past Easter and in the middle of April, it's unusual for us to see freezing temperatures, and we don't have that in the forecast. So you're okay to get out and be working that summer garden. Looking like below normal temperatures for a huge chunk of the country, though, getting into next week, including us, and we'll be between the below and above normal chances for precipitation. So we'll just go ahead and call that normal. Our temperatures the next couple of days in the mid-70s. Wednesday will bring us our next best chance of some scattered thunderstorms coming up at about 8:45. I'll walk you through that hour by hour with Futurecast. Behind that front, a cool 67 on Thursday, and we'll see those overnight lows dropping into the mid-40s. PETA?
We have a new crash to talk about. This one popping up on 440. We're seeing a little bit of congestion as you travel along Six Forks Road, and this is in the westbound lanes. Be mindful as you're heading out in that direction. It's a little slow going for a short period of time. We have a lot of closures to talk about as well. Hargett Street between Fayetteville Street and Salisbury Street in downtown Raleigh will be closed until 1 o'clock today. A good alternate route will be to turn left on Fayetteville Street if you're traveling on West Martin Street, then turn right on Hargett Street to get around that closure. We are also seeing closing conditions in areas just towards the south and west, or south and east, I should say. This is in Goldsboro, where North Berkeley Boulevard and Central Heights Road will be closed. Alternate routes for you will be to take US 70 bypass, North William Street, or US 70. Back to you.
Well, Peter, we're tracking another crash here in the W Area Live Center. This is breaking news. I want to take you right to the scene with the help of Sky 5. This is all happening on Weaver Road, and as you can see, both lanes of Weaver Road are completely shut down. But take a look at what we're looking at. You're seeing this for the first time, just like we are. You can see that pickup truck, for some reason, rear-ended that school bus. Based on what we're hearing from our crew on the scene, about two dozen middle school students were on this bus. But the good news is no injuries are reported. We're still working to find out, though, the condition of the driver of both the bus and this pickup truck. We're also trying to figure out exactly what caused that pickup truck to rear in that school bus. Sky 5 will remain here on the scene, and we'll continue to monitor this and bring you any new developments during this broadcast.
Ken, thanks. Investigators are trying to find out what started a house fire that left four people hurt, including two neighbors who tried to help put out the flames. Brett Neese shows us how it all unfolded at the home on Cedar Red Lane in Fayetteville from the WRL Breaking News Tracker.
This is the home here behind me. You can see all the damage done to it. The roof pretty much gone as a result of the fire. Take a look at video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. It'll give you a better idea of the extent of the damage. I'm told that four people were injured as a result of this fire. Two of them live here at this home. Two of them were neighbors that were trying to help them get out of the fire. Firefighters tell us that the fire was probably burning for quite some time before they got on the scene just after 10:30 last night. It took them about an hour or so to put the fire completely out. They say that the cause is still under investigation. I'm going to stay on top of this and find out more about those injuries and that cause, and we'll keep you updated. In Fayetteville, Brittany, WRL News.
New this morning, a highly decorated World War II veteran who lived in Moore County has died at the age of 100. Army medic Ray Lambert took part in the June 1944 Allied assault at Omaha Beach in France. Funeral arrangements have not been made public. A family friend says Lambert wanted his ashes to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery and some scattered on Omaha Beach.
New this morning, Iran is blaming Israel for a blackout at one of its nuclear facilities. State TV quoted Iran's foreign minister as vowing revenge against Israel over what he calls an act of nuclear terrorism. Israel has not claimed responsibility for the blackout, but if it is found responsible, it could further raise tensions between the two countries. Experts worry it could also complicate U.S. talks underway now to get Iran to rejoin the 2015 nuclear deal.
The Caribbean island of St. Vincent will likely see more volcanic eruptions in the day ahead as ash continues to fall. New video shows the ash coming down like rain over the weekend, triggering widespread outages and water shortages. More than 16,000 people have evacuated in the wake of Friday's eruption. Experts say more may need to leave, with more volcanic activity likely. Ash from the volcano has traveled as far as 120 miles away.
Happening today, members of Parliament around the UK will pay tribute to Prince Philip. The Duke of Edinburgh died Friday morning at the age of 99. The Queen described her husband's death as, quote, having left a huge void in her life. The two had been married for 73 years. The House of Commons and the Scottish Parliament will hold special assemblies in his honor today. Prince Philip's funeral is set for this coming Saturday. Also happening today, the UK will start easing its COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. We're talking about hairdressers, beauty salons, gyms, and patios at bars and restaurants are allowed to open this morning across the country. Officials have also ended a ban on overnight stays away from home. Britain has the highest death toll from COVID-19 in Europe, with more than 127,000 lives lost.
Here's a live look at the Capitol building. President Biden's request for trillions of dollars in infrastructure spending will be the top priority when Congress returns to work today. He is set to meet with a bipartisan group of lawmakers in hopes of getting his plan through the House and Senate. The $2 trillion plan calls for expanding broadband internet, an increase in wages for those who care for the elderly, and funds for fixing aging infrastructure like roads and bridges. To pay for it, Biden wants to raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%.
We're working to find out the name of a motorcycle driver who died after hitting an SUV in Raleigh. It happened on Newbern Avenue near North King Charles Road. Witnesses say the driver of a Toyota 4Runner was turning left into the parking lot, crossing the oncoming lanes. And that's when it came into the path of the motorcycle. Samantha Lynch heard the crash and ran out to help.
No, he wasn't conscious at first. He was knocked out because he went over the car. When he went over the car, he landed on the back of his head. He flipped over the truck.
The driver of the SUV was not hurt.
A 7-year-old girl shot while playing with friends outside is now speaking out against gun violence. Ziana was caught in the crossfire of gunshots outside her home in Charlotte on March 30th. Her liver, lungs, and ribs were all damaged. And now she has a message for anyone involved in gun violence.
I think they should stop doing this because kids are going to get hurt somehow. They need to stop doing this.
It is just so heartbreaking that she's speaking from personal experience. Three people arrested in connection with the shooting. The family says they plan to move from the neighborhood since they no longer feel safe there. The way you vote faces a big legal challenge in a North Carolina courtroom. Just ahead, the stakes in play as the trial begins in a case that could affect what you'll need if you want to cast a ballot in our state.
The Triangle's number one source for news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Time now, 8:26. I'm Micaiah Thurman with your top stories. And we begin with Elizabeth in the Sevier Weather Center. Elizabeth, it's shaping up to be beautiful outside.
Absolutely. Take a look at Clinton. We have clear skies. It's gorgeous. Notice the trees right here in the foreground. Kind of moving around a little bit. It is going to be a breezy day today. And on the cooler side, temperatures right around, say, mid-70s. It's 59 in Fayetteville, 51 in Roanoke Rapids, 59 Wilson and Goldsboro. So it's feeling good out there this morning. And temperatures won't warm up too quickly. We won't hit 77 until about 3 o'clock this afternoon. After that, temperatures will drop off into the low 70s by the evening. But perfect weather to get outside and enjoy. Humidity is on the lower side today. Vita?
We have a crash this morning on Joyner Bridge Road at Peach Orchard Road. This is in Johnston County this morning. A good way to work around this crash is to take US 701. Other areas that we're working on getting more information. This is in the westbound lanes at I-440 at Six Forks Road We have a crash in this area. We're seeing some congestion this morning in that direction as you head out, but all of our major routes are just fine. Back to you.
And we're following breaking news. A 15-year-old is dead after a shooting in Spring Lake. This is a look at the scene on Cimarron Drive. Police found the teen just before 3 a.m. They've not identified the victim or named a suspect in the case. And several local school districts are returning more students to class full time this morning. That includes Cumberland County and Johnson County schools, who are bringing back middle and high schoolers. Some of them haven't been back to the classroom for more than a year. You can see the full list on your screen. And next on Fox 50, Sky 5 is over the scene of a bus crash in Johnston County. The new information we've learned just in the past 5 minutes.
WRAL News on Fox 50. Coverage you can count on.
It is 8:30. We are staying on top of breaking news out of Johnston County. We thank you for staying with us. I'm Renee Chu.
I'm Micaiah Thurman. You're looking at Sky 5 video there just to the right of the screen. And Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center with details on a school bus crash.
Micaiah and Renee, we've been following this crash in the WRAL Live Center. I want to take you back to the scene again with the help of Sky 5. You can see this pickup truck slamming into the back of this school bus. This is all happening on Weaver Road in Kenley, and you can see both directions of Weaver Road right now completely shut down. There's a heavy emergency personnel presence here at this scene still. Now, just minutes ago, we heard from Johnson County Schools. This was school bus 741 that was headed to North Johnston Middle School. We're told that more than two dozen students were on that bus. The school district says four of the students were taken to nearby hospital with minor injuries. Also, according to the Johnson County School District, the bus driver was not at fault. Of course, we're working to find out the condition of both drivers, of course, the driver of the pickup truck, the driver of the school bus as well, and what caused this pickup truck to slam into the back of that school bus. We'll continue to update this story online at WREL.com and have the very latest for you during our new newscast.
Taking a look at weather this morning. It's beautiful. We're taking a look first at downtown Raleigh. Looking at the Capitol building here, you can see the flags are really whipping around. Our wind is going to be an issue today. We're going to see winds gusting up to 25 miles per hour, especially through the afternoon. So expect it to be breezy. It's going to kick up some pollen. And if there's anything else that you're doing today that is affected by the wind, just note it's not going to be terribly strong. But again, 20, 25 mile per hour gusts. If you're planning to do any outdoor burning today, it would be good to put it off for another couple of days. We have another front that comes through on Wednesday that is likely to bring us just a little bit of rain to help the situation, and things will moisten up a little bit too starting tomorrow. Today our humidity is low and we have this wind that we're dealing with to make burning just a little bit on the dangerous side. Gust to 25 miles per hour. We're going to see steady winds at about 15 to 20 or so all the way through the afternoon, and those winds will begin to die down this evening. Hour by hour we take a look at our temperatures. It's going to be a nice day. 71 at lunchtime, and we'll see temperatures in the mid 70s for highs this afternoon. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Wednesday's front and what time you can expect the rain.
Breaking news. Just 2 hours ago, we learned a 15-year-old is dead after shooting in Spring Lake. It happened before 3 this morning at a home on Cimarron Drive. Brett Nace shows us how this unfolded from the WRL Breaking News Tracker.
The Harnett County Sheriff tells me that this 15-year-old and two other juveniles were inside the second home here on this block around 2:30 this morning when a shot was fired which struck and killed that 15-year-old. Take a look at video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. Detectives have been in and around this mobile home for several hours trying to figure out what exactly led up to this shooting. The sheriff tells me they did search for the suspect throughout this neighborhood with canine units, but that search was unsuccessful. They have yet to release a description of who they are looking for. The sheriff says that they are interviewing those two that were inside the home at the time of the shooting, and they're also talking to some neighbors to try to piece this all together. I'm going to stay on top of this and keep you updated. In Harnett County, Brett Nace, WRL News.
You're looking live at Reed Ross Classical School, one of many schools across Cumberland County welcoming students back to the classroom today. The district is holding celebrations as it brings back grades pre-K through 12 on a 4-day-per-week schedule. Wednesdays will stay a virtual learning day. Students and any visitors will get temperature screenings before going inside the building, and social distancing protocols will also be in place. But it's a rock star welcome for those students. The counties highlighted on this map are also bringing more students back to the classroom today. In Chatham County, pre-K through fifth grade students are returning to full-time in-person learning. And then Person, Nash, Johnston, and Lee counties are bringing back all middle and high school students.
Today, a 20-year-old found dead in her Raleigh apartment will be laid to rest. Christina Matos was married to the man now charged with her murder, Eric Hernandez Mendez. Her family said they had not heard from her since April 2nd, so that's when they asked Raleigh police to go to her apartment to check on her. They believe more people are involved in her death. Investigators haven't said how she died. Today, the battle over whether you need an ID at the polls will head to trial. A 3-judge panel will hear arguments over whether the ID requirement passed by state lawmakers in 2018 is legal. Opponents of the law say it makes it it violates the state constitution by making it harder to vote, especially for people of color. Supporters say it prevents voter fraud. The trial begins at 10 a.m. You can watch it on the Wake County Superior Court YouTube channel.
New this morning, the CEOs of major companies are preparing to take action on voting rights issues in the U.S. The Washington Post reports more than 100 executives are readying a statement on more restrictive voting laws considered by Republican state legislatures in states including North Carolina. The companies could halt political donations and delay investments in states that pass such laws. The new action is set to be announced early this week.
This morning, Wake County could start giving out Johnson & Johnson vaccines again. Health officials put distribution on pause after some patients experienced adverse reactions last week. WRL's Michelle McConaughey joins us live from PNC Arena.
Yeah, I'm standing in the parking lot where people come to rest after they get vaccinated. They come and stay here for about 15 minutes. But 5,000 doses of the vaccine could be administered as early as today. It could happen here at PNC, which is where we are. So far, about 16,000 people have been vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson in Wake County, and the county has reviewed internal procedures. They are considering changes like the volume of vaccinations just to ensure that they can monitor patients closely. Wake County Public Health has been in close contact with J&J Drug Safety and also the CDC. They say what happened here is similar to what happened across the country, and they really are not concerned with the vaccine. We're live in Raleigh. Michelle McConaughey, WREL News.
And finding a clinic can be stressful, but WREL is doing the hard part for you. Every day, we're checking the availability of vaccines in the area. You can find that information on WREL.com and the WREL News app. Just look for the Find a Vaccine banner on the homepage. Well, time now, 8:37. A surge in cases has some states pleading for more doses of the vaccine. Just ahead, why the White House says it's staying the course on the vaccine rollout, at least for now.
I'm honestly afraid to get out. Can I?
Yeah, you should be. Get out.
Plus, hear the confrontation with a soldier that prompted a state investigation and left one police officer without a job.
This is WREL News.
A record 4.6 million Americans have gotten a dose of the COVID-19 vaccine just on Saturday alone. But some states are pleading with the White House for more as they struggle with the surge in cases. Britt Conway shows us why the Biden administration is sticking with its current distribution plan.
In Michigan, state leaders and health experts are all making the same plea as they watch more and more people test positive for COVID-19.
Think about surging vaccines into the state of Michigan.
I think getting vaccine shots in arms is our ultimate defense.
Make the case for surging vaccines.
We are asking for more help, for more vaccines.
Some national health experts are rallying behind them.
We've got to be able to do this when there are surges.
We need to get in the habit of trying to surge resources into those hotspots.
And Michigan is a hotspot. COVID-19 positivity rates haven't been this high here since the start of the pandemic, and hospitalizations are nearing peak levels. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is urging high schools to go remote, youth sports to pause, and people to skip indoor dining for at least the next 2 weeks. And a White House official tells CNN President Joe Biden told Whitmer the administration will send an additional 160 government personnel to help out with vaccinations, but no promise of more vaccines.
We have to make sure we're doing this in an equitable way, in a fair way, and the way that we have been doing this is by adult population. We have to continue to push forward, making sure that we're getting as many people as possible vaccinated.
But Whitmer says she'll continue pushing too.
And I'm going to continue to fight for the people of Michigan.
I'm Britt Conway reporting.
And North Carolina is not among the states asking for more vaccines from the White House. Well, time now, just about 8:42, you can get a vaccine at your local Publix. How you can join the new initiative starting today, just ahead.
It is 8:44, and look at all that sunshine out there in downtown Raleigh. And you can see the breeze is blowing, too, with the flags there waving in the distance. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look at how breezy it's going to get.
That's right. It's definitely a blustery morning out there, and it will be that way all through the day today. As we take a look at our WRL live camera network, in some of them, some of these towns, you can see that wind blowing. You can't see it too much. We don't have a flag really in view here in downtown Durham, but you can see how gorgeous it is. 54 degrees, and the countdown is on to baseball. I believe it's May 11th. They're going to start playing baseball after, you know, more than a year out there at the DBAP. 59 now in Goldsboro. Trees out front, you can see here, aren't looking too windy. You can't see the trees moving around too much. It's not too blustery in Goldsboro at the moment. And then we'll take another look down at Southern Pines. It's pretty here, looking gorgeous, 56 degrees. So it's pleasantly cool out there this morning. We're going to see plenty of sunshine. Today and tomorrow look nice and dry, but we're tracking the next front that arrives on Wednesday evening. And we're going to see showers and thunderstorms. thunderstorms along with that, and potentially some rain to help wash away the pollen. The pollen count has started to go down a little bit. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a second. We're going to be very dry today, but tomorrow we start to get into a little bit more moisture. Now, this graphic shows what we call available moisture. Just because moisture is available does not mean it's going to rain. Most of the time when we show you something green, it means it's going to rain. But what we can do is we can show you where we'll have the best chance of seeing it, even though we may not see it tomorrow. We'll see additional cloud cover, and our humidity will begin to go up a little bit. We have very dry conditions today, and that's led us to a high fire danger. We're going to moisten things up a little bit for tomorrow. Wednesday, we're going to be watching for some triggers, and we may have a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, but if you don't have any triggers to kick off that rain, it stays dry. But here comes our trigger. We're going to see the warm front and the cold front slide through on Wednesday. Behind it, we're going to dry out significantly, so it's going to be pretty dry for us Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. We're going to be back into a little bit more moisture. Today, nice and dry, clear skies there for today, looking at mostly sunny skies, less humid conditions, but a little bit more moisture rolls in tomorrow, bringing us some additional cloud cover, but very little chance for rain. Then we see our warm front lifting northward, and then under that warm front, we may have just a few isolated showers or thunderstorms Wednesday, late afternoon or evening, and then the front itself kicks through late at night and into very early Thursday morning, and behind that Thursday looks dry and sunny. Our pollen count is actually decreasing for trees. Last week, I think almost every day it was very high, and we're back to high. I know it's still high, but at least we're moving in the right direction. We're looking at high tree pollen today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, but again, we've brought it down a notch, which is helpful. A little bit of rain on Wednesday may help the situation again, but it's only about a 30% chance of rain. Doesn't look like a big widespread soaking for us, unfortunately. Mid-70s today and tomorrow. Behind the front, Thursday's high will be 67, so looking chilly for us. And then our temperatures, of course, even overnight, drop back into the mid-40s. So hopefully you still know where your jacket is.
Thank you. A sixth victim in a mass shooting in Rock Hill, South Carolina, has died. Robert Shook died Saturday after undergoing several surgeries. The 38-year-old was married with three children. Authorities say Shook was shot six times, was still able to call his supervisor, who then made the first 911 call related to the shooting. Philip Adams is believed to have shot Shook, his co-worker, a doctor, the doctor's wife, and their grandchildren. The following day, the community came together to remember the shooting victims. Dozens attended a prayer vigil in a park. Family members of the victims and their pastors spoke during the service. There was also a moment of silence.
A 21-year-old who drowned in Jordan Lake was not wearing a life jacket. That's according to investigators at the scene near Parker's Creek Campground, just off U.S. 64. Investigators say Oscar Yayo was one of three men in a canoe that overturned yesterday. One of his friends tried to rescue him, but was not successful.
The Virginia State Police is starting an independent investigation into a traffic stop involving a black Army officer.
I'm honestly afraid to get out. Can I?
Yeah, you should be. Get out.
Body camera video shows the arrest in a town just south of Richmond last December. You can see officers drawing their guns. One pepper sprays the Army lieutenant. The officers involved originally said they thought he was trying to elude police, but an internal investigation found they did not follow department guidelines. One of the officers has since been fired. The lieutenant is suing the officers for $1 million in damages.
A North Carolina production company will no longer hire white actors to wear red face makeup for Native American roles. Instead, the Lost Colony production will now cast Native American actors to perform those roles. The production has also worked with Native Americans to help guide them as they improve their depiction of the Native American culture. The change is part of an effort to make the production authentic and respectful.
And happening now, you can sign up to get a vaccine at your local Publix. For the first time, the grocery chain is giving out the Moderna shot in select counties across our state. That includes Wake County. Appointments are set for April 17th and April 18th. Publix is also offering clinics in Alabama and Tennessee. The appointment system opened up just about 2 hours ago.
Carolina Panthers legend Mike Rucker hopes to send a message by getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Rucker attended a clinic in Charlotte. He says getting the vaccine became personal after several friends lost their parents. Now he hopes to inspire others to overcome their hesitations and get the shot.
The cruise ship industry is poised for a rebound. Carnival saying passenger reservations have nearly doubled over the past few months. Norwegian Cruise Line says it's set to continue domestic trips for passengers and crew who are fully vaccinated. The CDC has yet to announce a date for when ships will be allowed to dock at U.S. ports.
It is something many can relate to during the pandemic, weight gain. For so many Americans, it is easy to put on, but so difficult to take off. Now a doctor is trying to bring obesity treatment to the masses. Chris Pallone explains.
The COVID-19 pandemic has ushered in a new era of healthcare at home. Now a New York City obesity expert, Dr. Alexandra Soa, is hoping to capitalize on this trend.
Weight loss is not as simple as willpower.
Dr. Soa says recent research shows weight and metabolism are a lot more complicated than originally thought.
And a lot of doctors just don't know anything about it. So they'll just tell you, you know, to lose weight, you need to eat less, exercise more.
Soa has now created a weight biology kit, which allows patients to get 8 metabolic tests without leaving home.
We are testing for insulin and glucose, which is blood sugar.
She's looking for indicators of something called insulin resistance.
It is an undiagnosed epidemic in our country.
I was pushing like 300 plus pounds.
Danny Holding Mabley runs a popular YouTube channel called Fat Loss and Family. He's lost 150 pounds and has kept more than half of it off for about 5 years. He's partnering with Dr. Soa on a series of sponsored videos which will document his experience with the SoWell test kit and whether it reveals clues about what makes lasting weight loss so difficult.
When you lose the weight initially and you regain it, there's always that kind of like second or third time around you start to do it, that it's like, why is this harder than last time?
The number of companies providing at-home diagnostic tests has exploded over the past couple of years, but uncovering raw data is one thing, interpreting it is another.
So what this kit is allowing us to do is to dig a little bit deeper and to really help you understand what your body is telling you.
A new tool in the battle of the bulge. Chris Pallone, NBC News.
The SoWell health test kit costs $199. The cost is not covered by insurance, but the company hopes to have it classified as an eligible flexible spending account purchase soon.
You may soon see more electric scooters in Raleigh. They are making a comeback. The city has signed on with 3 companies to bring them back. A few years ago, the city had contracts, but ultimately decided to get rid of them. Councilmember Jonathan Melton was appointed to the Transportation Transit Committee, and getting the scooters back was one of his top priorities.
Getting people around where they need to go in a safe, affordable, dependable manner that doesn't require them to get in their cars. That's what we're focused on.
The 3 companies haven't been announced yet, but scooters should be available for use within the next 3 weeks.
Tonight, the Canes capital Jordan Stahl, captain Jordan Stahl will log his 1,000th career NHL game. 568 of those are with the Canes. He's been such a leader and fan favorite. Head coach Rod Brendamore spoke about how special this milestone is.
It's not an accident that these guys play 1,000 games. You have to do it right, and you got to have be a good teammate and do all the things that make you play in the National Hockey League. I mean, a lot of guys don't get to that point.
The game is at PNC Arena tonight at 7.
And we'll get another check on weather and traffic up next.